I'm excited to be here today. Excited to be here in Silver Springs. Great to be with you. I want to jump right into the message today. First, I'm going to pray and then want to jump in, and I want to encourage you today and give you a word to encourage you and equip you. The Bible tells us that the pastor teacher's calling is the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Are there any saints in the house? The children of God are here. Amen. So I want to equip you through God's word to help you to live for Him. Praise God. So pray with me if you would first. Father, in the strong name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your word, Lord God. It is a lamp unto our feet. It is a light unto our pathway, Lord. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would illuminate the path today as we consider some truth from it. In the strong name of Jesus Christ. And the church said,
amen,
amen and amen. Amen. Hey, and we mentioned in the first service, so the word will spread to you, that the Potomac Ministry Network has spoken with us about your church and about the possibility of coming here to your church. And many of you will have heard that before I got here today. That said, I'm not a politician today. I'm not trying to win you over. I just came here to preach. Are you with me? That's what I'm here for. So I'm just going to jump in. I want to preach a message to you. I want to equip you for this week and hopefully build you up so that you can go out and live for Jesus. Who wants to live for Jesus? Amen?
Amen?
Amen. So let me jump right in here together with you. Do not leave the room for the rest of the cruise. Process what I just said. Do not leave your room for the rest of the cruise. Who's been on a cruise? Anybody been on a cruise? I had never been on a cruise. Man, I grew up in Nowheresville, Virginia, in the middle of nowhere. I lived with my grandparents sometimes growing up. My grandfather was a World War II Navy veteran. I would say to him, Pop, someday we should go on a cruise. And he would look at me like I had lost my mind. He was like, it's terrible out there. All you can see is water and the food's the same. I was like, Pop, I'm not talking about joining the Navy. I'm talking about going on a cruise. It's not the same thing. No one will shoot at us. It's a fun ship. But we never went, but I finally had the opportunity to go on a cruise. It was a unique opportunity. Convoy of Hope. Who's familiar with Convoy of Hope? Anybody? Great organization, does relief work, children's feeding programs all around the world. My wife and I have done a lot of work with them. In fact, in a recent season, in this season we're in, we spent a lot of time in Puerto Rico also working with the relief effort and helping after the hurricane. So we've done a lot of work with Convoy of Hope. A generous benefactor made a donation to Convoy of Hope to bring people on a cruise, catch this, bring people on a cruise, and they invited wealthy business owners and all different folks and community leaders, and I got invited on this cruise so that I could share about some of my experiences with Convoy of Hope and be able to interact with people and tell them what we had done. So my wife and I got to go on a cruise to Alaska for free. You just heard I fly for free, right? My son's a pilot with American Airlines. So I fly to Seattle for free. You know, sometimes you just got to take one for the team. You know what I'm saying? Like sometimes you just got to, yeah. So I fly to Seattle. We go on this cruise to Alaska. It's incredible. The views are spectacular. It's amazing. A fellow pastor friend of mine who is on the cruise gets sick just a couple of days in. A couple of days into the cruise, he's sick. And just like when you were in school, you would go to the school nurse or something like that when you got sick. They have one of those on the ship. So he goes to the nurse. They quarantined him. He is taken to his room, he is quarantined, and he is told, do not leave your room for the rest of the cruise. They bring the food to the room. Anything he needs has to be brought to him. The views are spectacular. The wildlife, the mountains, everything, it's Alaska. He is locked in his room. The next morning I woke up and I felt terrible. My stomach felt awful. My head was killing me. I mean, I just felt so sick all over. I told no one. No one. No one was going to find out that I just came out. Hey, good morning. There he is. It's all good here. Yeah. I told nobody was going to know I was sick. That afternoon, I was feeling really bad. I just went back to the room on my own. I laid down for a while. I was like, I'm not telling anybody. I'm not missing Alaska. I mean, come on. I don't know when I'm coming back here. So I told nobody. Here's what I want you to remember. The reason they quarantine my friend is because you're contagious. You're contagious. You know that, right? Go ahead and touch your neighbor real quick so they can catch whatever you have. No, don't do that. Yeah. You're contagious. And you're not just contagious physically. You're contagious spiritually as well. And that's what I want you to catch as we jump into this message today. Those folks around you, they catch what you've got, what you have, and it affects them also. Remember that as we jump into this, to this message today. I want to read you a passage here. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 30. Do we have that iPad, or do you want to run it from the back? It's there, yep. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. It says this: David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Put up there also the old KJV version of that one. It says this: David, 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, King James Version says, David encouraged himself in the Lord. I think you've got that one as well, don't you? David encouraged himself. There it is. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I want to talk to you about that today, about being encouraged in Christ, in God. Ever have a bad day? Anybody ever have a bad day? Sure you have. Everybody's had a bad day. We all have them. You have bad days. Can't find the car keys, right? Running late, can't find the keys. Spill coffee on your shirt, right? As you're about to walk out the door, right? All dressed, ready for church. Baby messes the diaper just as you're about to walk out the door. It's like, come on. These things happen. Sometimes it's a bad day at work. Sometimes it's a bad day at school. Where are the students in the room? There's any students in the room? Wave at me. Where are the students in the room? Yeah? Ever wake up in the morning, you pick your head up off the pillow? Oh, no. There was an assignment that was due. You forgot all about it, right? And your parents are Nigerian? Nigerian parents don't play. They do not play. They won't want to hear your story. You better get that work done. Am I telling the truth? Is anybody from Nigeria in here? I've been to Africa a few times. I'll tell you what, you're gonna make that grade. So things happen where you have a bad day. I remember getting ready in the morning, and I'm an organized guy. I am. I think some of it was a military grandfather, Navy, the whole bit, kind of grew up in that and in that environment. So before we would go to bed at night, I was always, you know, book bag packed, clothes laid out, organized, set up, just how I function, how I operate. I like it that way. I'm kind of an organized guy in that regard. So we would have it all set. But somehow it would still happen that we would be getting ready in the morning and my son can't find his shoes. Can't find his shoes. He goes to a school where he has to wear the same shoes every single day. Can't find his shoes. I'm like, come on, where are your shoes? I can't find them, Dad. We're looking everywhere. We don't live in Buckingham Palace. I mean, there's only like 7 rooms in the whole house. Like, where could they be? It's like, obviously you had shoes on your feet when you came home yesterday. I would have noticed if I'd picked you up in socks. Where are your shoes? And you're running late and you're scrambling and then you don't make the light and there's a garbage truck and a school bus and come on, right? Yeah, and sometimes the day can just be set off. You have a bad day. That is not the kind of day that David is having. David's not having a bad day. David is having a worse day. This isn't a bad day. This isn't I ripped my shirt on the car door day. This isn't an I spilled coffee on my pants day. David is having a worse day. He's having a day where nothing could be worse than what really takes place. Everything goes wrong. If you know about David, you know he was anointed to be the next king of Israel, chosen to be the king, went out, had great things happen, like defeated Goliath. But Saul wants to kill him. I'm going to abbreviate the story. He flees for his life. Saul's chasing him around. He's living in fields and caves. He's hiding. Saul wants to kill him. But a group of men rally around him. He puts together a group of several hundred men, his mighty men. They travel around. Of all things, David gets a contract where the Philistines hire him to work for them. Now remember, Goliath was a Philistine. But the Philistines end up hiring David and his men under like a mercenary contract where he goes to battle and war for them and he works for the Philistines. They give him a town called Ziklag where all their families get to stay. It's a good gig. They're compensated good. Everything is going well. And then everything changes. One day some of the guys around the king, they come in and they say, you know what, we don't trust this guy. We don't trust this guy. This is a guy who killed Goliath. Are we crazy? Why is he here? He's going to turn on us. Somewhere along the way, he's going to turn on us. You got to get rid of him. So the king calls David in. Hey, David, I'm sorry. I like you. I trust you. You got to go. You got to take your guys out of here. You can't work for me anymore. So David has to go out and tell his men, we lost the contract. What happens if you lose the contract? What did you also lose? You lost the money. You lost the contract. You lost the money. There's no income. Everybody just went to the unemployment line is what just happened. I lost the contract. Lost our jobs. Lost everything. Listen, guys, let's go home. When we get home to our wives, our kids, they'll make us feel better. We'll feel what we're going to do. We'll figure out what we're going to do next. They travel. It takes them 3 days to get to Ziklag. Can you imagine on the third day as you're approaching Ziklag, you'd be like, man, I'll be so glad to see my wife. I'll be so glad to see my kids. I can't wait to get home. And as they approach the town, they see the smoke. Ziklag has been attacked. The entire town has been burned to the ground so that there is nothing left. And all of the wives and the children have been taken captive. This is not a bad day. This is a worse day. This is, I lost the job, I lost my income, I lost my house, I lost my family, I lost everything I own. There is nothing left. And the men get to Ziklag and they're out of it. They're distressed. They're down. They're weeping. They're sitting in ashes. And David's sitting there, and the men around Ziklag, they start whispering something to each other. Let's kill him. Let's kill him. This is his fault. This is all his fault. He's the leader. We didn't lose the contract. He didn't say they didn't trust us. He lost it. He lost our jobs. He lost everything. He told us our families would be safe here. He's the one who put us in Ziklag. He's the one who didn't leave people here to protect it. This is all his fault. Let's kill him. This is not, I thought I had milk and it turns out I don't day. Are you with me? This is not, I didn't realize we're out of eggs and have to go to the store when I didn't want to day. This is a worse day. This is, everything is unbelievable. It is so bad. Everything is like that. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6. Let's look at that verse once again from the original one that we had up there. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse number 6. David, that's the context of this verse. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. Now, they also took their wives. And I'm sure it's just a scribal error that it doesn't say they were bitter in spirit because of their wives. You can think about that one. But anyway, each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength. Where? In the Lord his God, praise God. David found strength in the Lord his God. Let me read you a definition of strength. Here's a definition of strength. The emotional or mental qualities necessary in dealing with situations or events that are distressing or difficult. I want to read it one more time. The emotional or mental qualities necessary in dealing with situations or events that are distressing or difficult. Life is going to throw some of those your way. Life already has thrown some of those your way, but life is going to keep throwing those your way. Situations that are distressing and difficult. David says he found strength. That means he found what he needed to face those type of events. In life, you don't know what to expect one day to the next. You have no way to know. I could stand up here and tell you, today's your day. Preachers love phrases like that. Today's your day. This is your year. This is your month. I don't know what's going to happen in your life this year. How could I know? I don't know, because what's going to really happen is your life, your year, your month is going to be filled with good things and some pretty lousy things. Isn't that what, that's what it was like so far, right? That's what it was like so far. That's what it's always like. Some ups and downs. That's real life. Some good things, some bad things. They all come in life. So they come along the way. Your life's going to have some tough things along the way as well. And you don't really know what to expect from one day to the next. Sometimes some tough things get thrown your way. My wife and I were out for a walk one time. This was a few months ago. We're out for a walk. We're in Yonkers, New York. Who knows where Yonkers, New York is? Anybody? Oh, man. I thought we were like famous or something up there in Yonkers. But you know where New York City is, at least. Yes, okay. So we're up there in Yonkers. We're going for a walk. It's my wife and I. We're walking with our dog, Mr. Fox. Yes, I actually have a dog named Mr. Fox. So we're walking along with Mr. Fox. Turn the corner. There's a house right around the corner. There's a little table set out in the front yard. There's two little girls standing at the table. Look to be about 5, 7 years old. They're adorable. They're cute little girls. I made an assumption when I saw them that it was a lemonade stand. The kids do this sometimes in the neighborhood. They'll set up a table. They sell lemonade. You come over. How much does it cost to get a lemonade at a lemonade stand? Talk to me. Did somebody say 5 cents? Lemonade is cheap in Silver Spring. It's about 50 cents where we are. Sometimes it could even be a dollar. But it'll be 50 cents, whatever. You get a couple lemonade. We turn the corner. Two little girls, table outside, cute as anything. I say to my wife, let's support these local entrepreneurs. I go walking over. I'm like, good afternoon, girls. What do you have here? They said, we have homemade fruit punch. I was like, wow, that sounds good, yeah. I said, all right, I'll have one. It was hot, I was walking, and of course they're just cute and all I want is for them. I said, okay, I'll have one. I said, how much? $3. $3. I did not realize I'd stopped at a Jamba Juice franchise, yeah. I was like, $3? But I felt trapped, because I had already walked across the yard, and I was standing in front of the table, and they were right in front of me, and I was like, oh, you know, even if they'd been like 12. Even 12, I could have been like, yeah, right, welcome to the real world, kid. And but they were little, and they were cute, and I felt trapped. And I was standing there, and I was like, all right. So I pull out my wallet, and I hand them $3. And the one girl opens a little cash box, and she puts the $3 in. The other girl opens this ledger, and she starts writing, one fruit punch. This is an official operation. One fruit punch. $3. And I'm watching this like, wow. And then I'm looking around and I realize there's no fruit punch. There's nothing. It's just two little girls at a table. So I'm thinking, well, they must have it in the house. You know, they go back in the house. Maybe they mix it and they give it to me or whatever. And she finishes writing. And the first little girl, the little thief, the cute little girl on the left that I gave my money to. She reaches down under the table into a cardboard box and she pulls out this. This. 2 ounces. It says 2 on the bottom. It's like a tartar sauce or a ketchup cup. She pulls out this and hands it to me with a smile on her face. And I, what do? Thank you. And I... And I'm walking over, my wife's standing kind of on the edge of the yard, still at the sidewalk with the dog, and I come walking over, and my wife, who you just met, my wife says to me, how much did you pay for that? And I said, $3. And my wife says, you just paid $3 to have communion. Yeah. So, I open it up. The only redeeming element to this story at this point would be if I drank this, and it was like the most amazing thing I had ever drank in my life. That if I had gone, wow, that was good. Give me another one. But I opened it up, and I drank it. And if you made like Kool-Aid, like fruit punch flavored Kool-Aid, and maybe you didn't use enough sugar, and you put a little too much water, and then you left it in a cardboard box out in the sun all day, it tasted like that. Because that's what it was. And there was no way for me to expect that that was ever going to happen when I walked across that yard. Now, my son, when I told him that story when I got home, my son said the parents were probably inside, peeking out the window, saying to each other, we're going to make the mortgage payment this month. Stay out there longer, little girls. Yes. I didn't expect it. Life is filled with things we don't expect. But this is a funny story. Sometimes the things we don't expect in life are funny. Sometimes things happen at work, at school, in the neighborhood, and they're comical things. We tell our friends, you're not going to believe what happened to me today. And we tell the story, and everybody gets a good laugh, and it's great. But sometimes the unexpected things in life aren't funny at all. Sometimes they're incredibly painful. Sometimes they're devastating. They hurt us. They knock us off our feet. David's unexpected day isn't funny. This is a great story. David's unexpected day is brutal. I mean, there he is. They want to kill him. He's lost everything. The guys who work for him are talking of taking his life. Everything about his day is terrible. It happens in life as well. And it isn't always amusing at all. My mom sure didn't see it coming when she was a young bride. Young bride got married as a teenager, dropped out of high school, got married young. New bride, a knock came on the door. She opened it and there were two police officers standing there. Two police officers standing there to tell her, "We just arrested your husband and charged him with rape." That man was my dad. I was a baby in a little crib inside at the time. She literally hit the floor. She fainted when they told her that. Her whole world just got shattered. Everything about her life just changed. You just got married. It's a new marriage. You're young. You think things are going in one direction. Guess what? Your whole world just got rocked. It was unexpected. You've had things happen in your life you never could have seen coming. Someone died. Someone who said they'd always be there left. A job you thought you would have, you lost it. My son Zach, who we mentioned, who works in a hospital, he got this great job one time, left the job to take a new job. He's excited about his new job. He works there 2 weeks. On the Friday of his second week, he walks in to be told, "We lost the contract. You don't have a..." He's like, "I quit my other job to come here." Lost the contract. No more work. Go home. Lost it all. Now, thank God, God's a provider. Amen? And he has a new job now, and it's a great one. To God be the glory. But when he gets up that morning and goes to work, you think he sees that coming? No. Sometimes a day is filled with things that there's no way to see coming. David has that kind of a day. A day where something brutal happens. Sometimes engines and transmissions blow. Medical issues arise. Layoffs come. We don't get the job. Life throws some real curveballs our way. And it happened to David, and it was brutal. And I want you to catch this. Thank God for the family of God. Thank God for brothers and sisters in Christ who are there for you. But there are going to be times in life where life is going to throw something at your way that is so brutal that no one is going to have what you need. Nobody is going to have what you need. It won't matter who you talk to. It won't matter. Nobody's going to have what it takes to get you through that situation. That's where David finds himself. David is in a situation where he has no one. It's just him and God. That is it. And in that context, where it is just he and God, we find that David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Everything about his situation would have justified a pity party. He could have just sat and sulked. But there was another battle to be fought. This wasn't time to quit. It's never time to quit. Are you with me? It wasn't time to quit. He had to go fight for his family. He was going to have to rally these guys. He needed strength, and he knew where to get it. He knew what to do. Isaiah 40:31 tells us this. "But they who wait for the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not grow faint." David was going to have to experience that. How did he do it? What did he do? The context of 1 Samuel chapter 30 doesn't give it to us exactly. But thank God we have the Psalms. And the Psalms give us all sorts of stuff about David. And when we go to the Psalms, we find what David would do in these situations. And I want to give you a couple of things here real quick to help you out. The first one is this, and that is David knew, I got to get in the presence of God. I've got to get into the presence of God. In this, I don't have anybody else. I need the presence of God. Psalm 34, 1 through 4. Listen to these verses. We walk through them together. Psalm 34, 1 through 4. It says this. "I will extol the Lord at all times." What time?
All.
Somebody say all.
All.
What about when you lose the job?
All.
What about if your house burned down?
All.
What about if somebody took your family?
All.
What about if you lost all your material possessions? What about if everybody turned on you and wanted to kill you? That's what David's talking about. "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always," or continually, "be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear..." Not let those in victory. Everybody in victory rejoices. Come on. Everybody's praising when the cabinets are full. Everybody's shouting hallelujah when things are great. "Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He answered me, and He delivered me from all my fears." Wow. From the ashes, everything gone, people are whispering, "Let's kill him." David knows, I got to find strength in God. And everybody's sitting around, and then somebody hears it. Somebody hears it from across town. David goes over. He gets his harp. He pulls it out. I know what I got to do. I know what I got to do. I will bless the Lord and give Him. He's strumming that harp. Glory. Oh, I will bless His name and give Him all the glory. And the other men, they start hearing it. They start hearing it. You know, they start standing up, because we know from the battle that follows, they're all still with Him. They start standing up. They all start walking toward Him. And He's still singing. And everybody starts joining in. I will bless the Lord and give Him glory. Oh, I will bless His name and give Him all the glory. Church, there are going to be times where you're going to go through something where you got to go get your harp. You got to go get your harp. There's no one you can call. It won't matter who you call. Sometimes you're going to go through something tough enough where you got to put the worship music on. You got to get the praise music. You say, I got to get in the presence of God for this one. This one's me and God. This one's me and God. I need to find strength in Him. David knew, I've got to get into God's presence, and found his strength in that place. In that place, he did something else as well as he got into the presence of God. Second thing I want to give you today is you got to talk to yourself. You got to talk to yourself. Now, everybody talks to themselves. Everybody talks to themselves. So when you talk to yourself, tell yourself the truth. Because everybody talks to themselves, so make sure that the voice in your head is telling you the truth about what is true. And I know that David does it as well when he does this. Psalm 139:14 says this, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. When someone walks out on you, when your employer lets you go, when your performance doesn't measure up, when people lie about you and berate you behind your back, you better be prepared to remind yourself of what God says is true. When somebody else says to you, I don't love you anymore, then you better be ready to talk to yourself and tell yourself, I'm loved with an everlasting love. Because that's what God says is true. When somebody says you're never going to make it, you better be ready to tell yourself, my God will supply all my needs. Come on. According to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. When somebody says, oh, you know what? You're just going to be alone now. No, Jesus said He'd never leave me and He'd never forsake me. That's what is true. You're never going to be able to get through this one. Well, you know what? I got news for you. I'm more than a conqueror through Him who loved me. That's what God says is true. You have to tell yourself, because what is true about your situation is what God says is true about your situation. That's what's true in any situation. And that's not just positive confession or whatever. That is declaring the Word of God over your life. It is speaking what the Bible declares to be true. Do that in that sense. So David is there. David knows who it is. He gets in the presence of God. He knows. Everybody turned on him. Everything that's happened, he knows. To start to tell himself what God says is true. And I encourage you to do it as well. And I'll tell you, I'll give you a guy who had a great trick. I had this guy I knew for many years named Claude Myers. Great man of God. Claude Myers worked at Domino's Sugar for many years. That's Yonkers' claim to fame. You might not have heard of Yonkers, but you heard of sugar. And believe it or not, most of it on the whole East Coast is processed in Yonkers, New York. We go into restaurants and we pick up little sugar packets and we go, look, and it says Yonkers. So, that's true. So, anyway, Claude Myers worked at Domino's Sugar for years. And he told me, he said, Pastor, I have a terrible memory. I can't remember anything. I can't memorize verses. I can't remember things. He said, let me show you what I've done. And he pulled out his wallet. And out of his wallet, he pulled out these little notes of paper, and he started unfolding them in front of me. And there were Bible verses written on these little notes in his wallet. He says, when I'm at work, and the day is just brutal, and we're stressed out, and it's not going well, he said, when I get a break or anything, I'll walk out on the loading dock, and I pull this out, and I sit there, and I read it, and I read what God says is true. I said, this is what is true. This is what is real. He said, then I put them back in there, and I go inside, and I fire some. No, he didn't say that part. He said, but it strengthens him. He said, I read what God says is true. Man, if you can't remember on your own what God says is true, then write it down and stick it on your refrigerator or something. Put it somewhere where you know you're going to see it, where the Word of God gets in you and you stay in it to equip you for the journey. And then let me give you a last thing here. A last thing here so we can beat the Baptist to the buffet line. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. I heard somebody else say that and I just repeated it. Let me give you a last thing here. You're contagious. You're contagious. I opened with that and it's true. You're contagious in your spiritual life as well. And although you encourage yourself, see, David finds strength in the Lord as God. David encourages himself in the Lord, but then all the other guys around him, they caught it as well. They caught it. They caught what he caught. The next thing you know, they're all up. They don't want to kill him anymore. Now they're ready to go back to the battlefield and fight with him again. They're ready to go and get their families back. They caught it. He spilled over to them as well. And that's truth in your life as well. Let me read a couple of verses for you here. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Give me another from Hebrews. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Come on, when we come together in the house of God, we ought to build each other up. Amen? We should be encouraging one another. Man, life is tough. Come on. Sometimes work, school, life during the week will beat you up. Church is a place to come get encouraged and be strengthened in Him. So we spill over to one another when we come in here. Proverbs 11:25. Whoever brings blessing will be enriched, and the one who waters will himself be watered. When you refresh, you get refreshed as well. It comes back on you, praise God. As you do this, as you become a blessing to those around you. You encourage those around you is what we see in that as well. Now hear this from me really quick. There is something wrong in every situation. Every situation. There's always something wrong at work. There's always something wrong at school. There's always something wrong at home. There's always something wrong at church. There's always something wrong everywhere. There's always something wrong. There always is. Because we're people, right? Only there's not going to be anything wrong is if there's no people around. So as long as there's people around and people doing things, there's always going to be something wrong. There is nothing unique or special about an individual who can see what's wrong with the situation. Everybody on the planet can do that. Everybody on the planet can look at a situation and see what's wrong. It takes a unique, set-apart individual to look at something and see what's right, and see what's good, and go in it and say, you know what, I'm going to strengthen this and make this better and build others up. That's who we want to be as the children of God. Amen? Yeah. Let me close with this real quick. I keep saying real quick to give you hope. Yeah. I grew up in the sticks. Some of you know about the sticks, but some people, when you say the sticks, they picture like a suburb or a small town. That is not the sticks. I'm talking about when I took my wife there the first time, we rode forever down the road. She didn't see a house, a car, anything for miles. And finally she said, where are you taking me? She had never seen anything like that. It's just, I mean, you got to find the middle of nowhere and then just go a little bit more and you get out there to Cumberland. So Farmville is like the major metropolis actually now, but it's just out there. So I grew up kind of out there in the middle of nowhere, and our schools were small. It's not a populated area. There's only two schools, the elementary and the high school for the whole county. One elementary school, one high school. K through 6, elementary, 7 through 12, high school. That's our school, just a few hundred in each of them. So in my high school, when I'm in 7th grade, I'm at the high school. But you're young to be at the high school in 7th grade, but it's just these two schools. And when I was in the 7th grade, I get there, and I was in a class that there were a number of students in the class that were in like the 11th and 12th grade. Now, I don't know looking back if I was really good in math or if they were really bad in math or if it was a little of both. But I was young as a 7th grader in this class. It was an algebra class or something, and they're in there. One day in class, this girl turns around, and she's like a junior or a senior. She turns around and looks at me, and she said, "Hey, Slim, you got a pencil." Now, I had never been called Slim in my life. I was skinny as a rail. I was almost the same height I am now when I was like 13, 14, but I probably weighed 75 pounds less. So I'm skinny as it. She told me, "Hey, Slim, you got a pencil?" My friends are beside me. "Hey, Slim." They thought it was so funny. So they started calling me that. And I tried to resist it. "Don't call me that. I don't want to be called Slim." After a few days, I finally gave up. Till I graduated from high school, my name was Slim. I got my first car when I was 16. It was an AMC Hornet. Yes, a few of you know what it is, but most of you won't. It was an AMC Hornet was my first car, and all my friends called it the Slim-mobile. So that was it. So here I am. They call me Slim. All the way, I didn't shake that name until I went to college. I was always Slim, and that was my nickname. You get a nickname. That was my nickname. It's just because I was thin. They call me Slim, and then I picked that up. But there's a guy in the Bible who has a better nickname. This guy, his name is Joseph. And Joseph was a great guy. Joseph is the kind of guy that when you're having a cookout, you always invite him. Joseph was the kind of guy when your cell phone rings and your caller ID shows his name, you are already smiling before you answer it. There's some people in your life that when your cell phone rings and you see their name or their number, you go, "I don't have any time for that." You know I'm telling the truth, right? You know, well, I'm telling the truth. You haven't even talked to them yet. And you already know. You're like, "Oh, no, no, no. That will not be happening right now." Yeah. But Joseph is the kind of guy that when you see his name on the cell phone, you're like, "Yeah, you already smile." There are people that I could get a text and I pick it up and I just see who the text is from. I already want to open it. Because I already know this is someone who always makes me feel good. They make me feel better. You have people like that in your life. Joseph is like that. When he texted his buddies, they were happy to get the text. When it was men's ministry meeting and he was there, they were happy he showed up. Sunday school class, he's absent. "Oh, where's Joseph?" You wanted him at everything. You always invited him over. So he got this nickname. They quit calling him Joseph. They started calling him Barnabas, which meant son of encouragement. That's what the name Barnabas means. So when he came in our day, we just say the encourager. The encourager. Now, we use terms today like the avenger and all this kind of stuff, okay? We know that. Joseph was the kind of guy where he would walk in, you'd be like, "The encourager is here." You love that he was there. What an awesome nickname to pick up. Man, every child of God ought to earn that one. Every child of God should earn that one. That you strengthen yourself in Him. You remind yourself of who you are in Him. It builds you up. And then you spill over to all those around you as well. Amen? Now, in the end, David gets his whole family back. He wins them all back. David's worst day ends up to be an incredibly good day. It ends in victory. But you know what? He didn't find strength in the victory. He found strength in the Lord his God. He found strength when everything was still bad. When everything was still off, that's where he found his hope. That's where he built himself up. He didn't have to wait to get here. He already got it in this place. That's what God wants us to be equipped for as well. Amen? Would you stand with me? Hallelujah. 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 I want to pray over you this morning. I want to pray for God to strengthen you. Pastor is going to return. And I want to pray that you would take this word with you, equipped to do this in your life as well, to find strength in the Lord your God. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray for my brothers and my sisters right now across this room. Lord, we're at all different walks of life. I'm sure there's folks in this room that things couldn't be going better than they are right now. And I'm sure there's folks in this room that, boy, right now life is pretty tough. Life is pretty tough. I pray, God, that as a church and as individuals, Lord God, as believers, that we would be a people who find strength in you. I know, Lord God, sometimes the pastor's not going to have what we need. Our brother and sister in Christ isn't going to have what we need. No one's going to have. Lord God, I pray that we would be a people who know to come to you, to run to you, to your presence, to your word. And as we do, Lord God, may it strengthen all who are around us. In the strong name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.